The following podcast is brought to you by BetDSI.com. The NFL and college seasons are heating up, so what are you doing on the sidelines? Get in the game with BetDSI. They've been paying winners for 20 years now, and with a reputation for great service and fast payouts, it's easy to know why BetDSI is the place to play, win, and get paid. Anytime, anywhere. BetDSI has every wager you could ever imagine, whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, UFC, esports, global sports. I mean, if it's happening, BetDSI is putting a line on it. You can even bet on politics and celebrities. Plus, you can bet live with BetDSI's live betting option. So stop hanging out on the sidelines and get started with BetDSI. You'll get some extra bang for your buck right now, too. BetDSI is offering you podcast listeners an extra 25% bonus, but only when you use the promo code WIN125. Don't leave your money on the table. Use promo code WIN125 and get the special podcast listener 125% bonus. Just visit BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code WIN125. Don't stand on the sidelines. To win it, you have to be in it. Visit BetDSI.com right now. That's BetDSI.com. Promo code WIN125.
Watson keeps it himself. Watson takes it in. Touchdown, Texans. Fifth rushing touchdown of the season for Deshaun Watson. And off the turnover, the Texans capitalize with the score. Here comes the pressure. Watson gets rid of it. Nearly intercepted. Caught by Hopkins. Off the deflection. And it's first and goal. And it's been that kind of season for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Jack, I say dropped by Miles Jack. That could have been a pick. Miller rolling his shoulder. And he takes it in. Touchdown, Texans. Fifth rushing touchdown this season for Lamar Miller. And a lucky fan there in the first row here at NRG Stadium. What a drive by Houston.
I think in this league, when you start out 0-3, I think it's a tough deal. And the only way you're going to come back from 0-3 is with guys like that. You know, it starts with the captains. But it's really a locker room full of just great guys that I've loved coaching. And hopefully we can keep it going. You know, we've got to shore some things up. Jacksonville, you know, a very good defensive football team. We were inconsistent. We did some good things offensively, but not enough to say, you know, obviously heading into the playoffs, we've got to shore some things up. But you can't say enough about the character of this team. I can't overstate that enough.
Well, the Texans are in the playoffs. We know who's going to play who. And we only have an hour and a half to talk about it. So let's just jump right in. It's a Monday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Monday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the badass role model, Tyler Cito, running the show today for Jong, who's still in Vegas and probably passed out somewhere. If you want to get in, 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you are good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Tyler Cito. No degenerate, nope, what is it? Producer T. Scott, right? Yeah. But it says Tyler Cito in your Twitter now, right? I can't figure that out. Just fine. It's at Producer T. Scott. There's no degenerates today. And let's have some fun, man. We're only here for an hour and a half.
Let's work hard.
We have Aggie tonight. So I prepped for a two-hour show instead of a three-hour show. But there's not really much prep because we got so much stuff
in the weekend. I wasn't here on Friday, and I got a text from Jong that ruined my day. We didn't win.
Yeah, that kind of sucked. We talked about it a little bit, but you know what? I mean, it's been a great year. The people who should be sad are the Blitzers because now I'm not doing a party for them. Well, I told you, it had to be 12 months, right?
Yeah.
And I was going to put up my own money. It didn't happen. I mean, sorry. But the reality is it sucks to not win, but we've had such a great year.
It's hard to complain.
Yeah, to do what we did, there's not many shows that have done that. And, you know, I was pretty bummed. But the reality is, it's kind of like the Premier League. You know, we beat the crap out of everybody. We lost one game at the end. Didn't really mean anything because we're the champions.
The Blitzers are like Nick Foles. They get their bonuses taken away because of one play. You know,
just saying, all they had to do was get us there for one more month. I mean, we're going to have a party next year, but it's going to be the 10-year anniversary party, and I'm not paying for it now. You had your chance. But no, I mean, honestly, this has been the best year of the Blitz, and we got a lot of great stuff ahead, and I hope we're doing this show for a long time, and I think we will be. Yeah, nothing official on that, but I think we will be. And we're just going to keep having fun, entertaining you on your drive home. And congratulations to those guys for beating us, because beating this show is not a small thing. So
it won't happen again, pal.
No. Well, we're going to start over in 2019 with another streak. And it's kind of like the Texans' 9-game winning streak. We're going to go for a 12-game winning streak instead of an 11-game winning streak. So hope everybody had a great weekend, by the way. There was so much football. It was so much fun to watch. I think I'm going to throw this out there. We were talking about this before the show. I think whoever wins that Texans-Colts game, I would bet real money.
They'll be in the AFC Championship game?
Yep. I feel pretty good about it because I think, for one thing, the Colts are playing fantastic football right now. And I think the Texans, if we get Deshaun Watson from the Eagles game, which I think we will, that's a scary team. That defensively, I'm worried. I'm worried their offensive line is garbage. And all the stuff that we worried about before the season. The offensive line's garbage. The defense can't guard fast wide receivers. T.Y. Hilton. They can't run.
They can't stop a tight end.
They can't stop a tight end.
Neither could the Titans last night.
Oh, my God. I mean, O'Shaughnessy's getting catches, for God's sakes. They can't stop a tight end. They can't run the football. With all that aside, when you've got Hopkins and Watson, my goodness, those
it gives you a chance.
So good.
It gives you a chance. And, I mean, that's obviously two fantastic duos, Luck Hilton and Watson and Hopkins. But I still think the biggest problem the Texans have and the reason why I don't trust them going to the playoffs is I just don't – two reasons. They've not shown me that they have a running back who can do anything to keep control of the ball.
Yeah. But that's why I like even though they almost got him killed, that's what I liked what they did with Watson yesterday. Because if you can run the football with him, if he becomes your running back and you don't get him hurt, and it's the playoffs. So
no doubt. Go balls out. You absolutely should. The other thing is, this team has just not shown as good as they looked defensively yesterday.
Well, that was against garbage.
They've not shown that they can stop a top-tier quarterback. And for the rest of these playoffs, I mean, unless somehow the Texans run into the Ravens, you're going to see nothing but top-tier quarterbacks. And the Texans have not stopped one yet.
They're going to have to outscore teams, but I think they can do that because I really believe that what we've seen out of Watson and what he's developed into, and they were conservative yesterday, and I have no problem with that because there was no way the Jaguars were going to score a touchdown. The only way they got was a fluke fumble on a punt. They got points off of that. But the one play where they got a receiver deep open, you know, Blake Bortles can't hit him and overthrew the guy. There's just no way the Jaguars were going to score. So I think what they did offensively yesterday made a lot of sense. And we're going to see a different team next week. They're going to have to open it up. If you're going to beat the Colts, you got to see Deshaun Watson do everything. Throw the ball, run the ball, hit Hopkins, get Kiki QT out there and have him break some long plays. Because you're not going to beat the Colts 20-17. You're going to have to go out and score 35 points.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to stop them. And I love how the Colts are playing. I love this matchup, man.
I think it's fun. And I think that the playoffs in the last week got really interesting. Because I'll be honest, Pittsburgh, had they made it over the Ravens, I wouldn't have given them a chance.
No, but I like that Ravens team.
The Titans, had they made it over the Colts, I wouldn't have given them a chance. All the right teams got in. All the teams that deserve to be there got in. And I think it's going to make for a really interesting playoffs. And I think if you really can look at any of those teams, and I'm talking about the AFC, and I guess the NFC is sort of the same way, but if you can look at any of those AFC teams and go, you know what, that team's a lock to be in the Super Bowl.
You're a liar.
You're a liar.
Yeah.
And it's there's teams like the Texans and the Ravens who are getting it done with defense and quarterbacks, you know, sort of improvising and working with what they've got and running the ball. And then the rest of the teams are sort of the traditional, our quarterback's better than yours, you know, big play, explosive offense type teams. I think there's a good mix. I think it's interesting. I still think the Chargers are kind of being overlooked. I think they're very balanced. They've had a really good year.
That's a team you can't ignore either. I think the whole AFC is interesting, but I think the NFC
I still feel like it's Rams or Saints.
I think it's Saints, but I also think whoever wins that Eagles-Bears game has a chance to go to the championship game as well.
Maybe so.
Because those two teams are playing really well.
I think the biggest problem is those, I mean, whoever wins that is, get, I mean, they're going to go to the road.
Yeah.
And well, Chicago, if Chicago had home field, oh, I'd be really scared of them.
Yeah. But especially this time of year. But no, I think, and it's interesting that the Eagles got in. I take it back. I was telling you the Oklahoma bet. The bet that got me back into the black for the year yesterday was my final play, which was Bears plus 4.5.
Nice. Yeah, I had the Bears too.
And I had that and a small money line bet. But wound up for 2018, after being down a used Subaru in November, I wound up $47.
Congratulations. And you're stopping?
I'm stopping. I'm not playing anything today or tonight.
I told you, I've got my biggest bet of the of the bowl season going right now in this Pitt-Stanford game, which I have no idea why the line didn't move. So when bowls were released, like when they announced the opening lines for bowls, my site had a max on how much you could bet on games early. And I took as much as I could on the under. It was opened at 52. Took as much as I could on the under in this. I said, what am I missing? Neither one of these teams can score.
Right.
And they're acting like, I mean, so.
I did take Stanford in our little contest, but.
Well, looking good for you right now. So I maxed that out, and I'm thinking, well, I'm glad I'm getting this in, because by the time limits are opened up a little bit, the number will have gone down probably into the mid-40s.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be like, oh, well, I guess I'll take my little bet and be happy with it. It was 52.5 today. I mean, you could have still gotten in on this number today. And
yeah, I'm sorry. I actually didn't even look at that.
Just as I projected, neither one of these teams know how to play offense. And we've got missed field goals. I mean, it's a night. I don't know how Costello has so many stickers on his helmet. It has to be for completions or maybe first downs, because there's no way.
No, it's yards. It's for every yard.
Maybe so.
He gets a sticker for a yard.
Maybe it's every drive he doesn't throw an interception, he gets a sticker. But, yeah, this Stanford team is not good offensively. Pitt is so one-dimensional, and it's a running team, so right. The clock's been moving this whole game. It's just been a slam dunk under, and I don't know how that number didn't get pushed down. I really don't.
3:49 left, Stanford up 14-13, and Pitt just got the ball inside their own five.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure we can count this as a win for you.
I feel you can move on it as if it's already been played.
Yeah, well, it's too late because it already has.
I'm going to stretch out my lead in the gal pool.
Well, I'm
putting the pressure on Jerry and Josh, who both had 2-0 weeks again. Ooh. With me.
Ooh.
The last... Jerry Bow is the closest to me. I've had 2-0 the last 2 weeks, and he's had 2-0, so I can get no separation from him. So I'm counting on him blowing it in college this week. I hope, because it looks. I mean, I should knock on wood, because this game is not over.
Yeah, you're fine.
But
you're fine. There's no way.
But I'll
unless they go overtime, and I really don't see that. Unless like Pitt scores real quick, and then Stanford goes for two, and then Stanford ties. Overtime could screw you, but. I don't see either of these teams.
It doesn't look like anybody's moving the ball.
Oh, my God.
What would a safety do to my chances is the question.
You'd be fine.
But, yeah, I think I'm going to end up being okay with this thing.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. 94.1.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-3776. I want to wish everybody a happy new year. Have fun tonight. Get in trouble, but, you know, make sure you Uber or whatever. I'm not doing much, I don't think. We'll probably go out for a little bit, but I was telling you before the show, I've basically spent my weekend playing with that damn puppy. I've become so attached to that
Look
stupid
at you.
Thing.
What's happened?
It's silly. It's just, you know, she's just ridiculously cute. And I'm sorry. It's an old man thing, I guess, is that I care more. I told the wife, if we get divorced, she can have everything. I want the damn puppy. And she's like, I don't know about that. I'm like, okay. I mean, it's a lot of investments and a lot of property that you can have. Just give me the damn puppy.
Yeah.
So I guess we won't get divorced. Hey, can I rant about something for a second?
Please.
Because did you see the column that Pete Thamel wrote about UH firing Applewhite?
I don't know. I don't know who wrote what, but I saw a few articles about it.
Well, he basically wrote a hatchet piece on UH about, oh, how dare they, and who do they think they are trying to get in the Big 12 and stuff. And I didn't realize he was the guy that Tom Herman fed all the stuff about Ohio State to. So clearly Tom Herman's fed this stuff to him, which I don't know why Tom Herman gives a rat's ass about what's going on at UH. But I got to tell you, and I know Yahoo's not what it used to be. I mean, everybody's left to go to ESPN and other stuff. They're not, like when Dave Morgan was running it, they were fantastic, and now they're a bunch of losers. But the fact that the guy wrote a column that made no sense other than, oh, let's rip UH for wanting to be great. I mean, okay. You know what? That's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. And and then Dana Holgorsen, what a step back that would be. Well, wait a minute. Would it really?
Dana Holgorsen's accomplished more than Major Applewhite.
Yeah, but I mean, the whole thing is like, oh, well, it's just because they want to be in the Big 12. No, they just want to, you know what? There's nothing wrong with being the best of the group of five programs.
There ain't a problem with
and
that.
And isn't that better than being the 35th or 36th best Power 5 program?
I think so. But I understand, like, you know, from UH's standpoint, I'm sure they'd love to be a Power 5 program, even a middling one, because means more money.
But if they don't, then isn't they've got brand new facilities. Their facilities are as good as any Power 5 program. You can recruit anywhere here. And, yeah, if Dana wants to come back here, you don't think he's going to kick ass in the AAC? He's automatically the best coach in that conference. He's able to recruit better than anybody. And isn't that better? Doesn't that even give him a better path to a New Year's Six game or even the playoff?
Yeah.
Than at West Virginia, which is basically, you know, hillbilly Texas Tech?
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't get it. I don't get the whole, oh, well, don't go out and try to be something. You know, just, you know, stay in your lane kind of thing. That's just dumb. And if Tom Herman fed him that, and listen, I think Tom Herman's a turd. I think he's a great football coach, but most great football coaches are turds. If he fed him that and the Ohio State thing, then, you know, Tom, you're a piece of garbage. Stop doing that. Go coach your team and win football games and be great at Texas and quit worrying about Ohio State or Houston or anybody else.
Yeah.
And you know what, Pete Thamel? You know, quit being a mouthpiece. That just makes no sense to me.
I don't get it.
But, I mean, from what I understand, sources close to the situation tell me that the Dana thing's a real thing.
Okay.
And that they think they can get him.
I wonder what the buyout is.
$1 million after the first. It's 2.5 today. Tomorrow it's $1 million.
Okay.
And
I'd wait.
Well, yeah, I think you can wait 24 hours. But yeah, it's $1 million buyout for him. And I mean, that to me, Dana Holgorsen, and I've said this all along, is one of the three or four best play callers in all of college football. And you get that guy in this situation, then you're going to win an awful lot of games.
Yeah.
And he's if he won at West Virginia, and I know it's not, you know, I mean, I know it's not a bad program, but that's a hard place. It's like Washington State. It's like what Mike Leach has done.
Yeah, but one thing I will say about West Virginia is that's a tough place for anybody to go travel to and play. UH is never going to be that.
That is as far as home field advantage goes. Yes, but
you won't get much better.
But as far as recruiting,
it's tough.
Yeah,
it's tough. And now you can argue that Dana Holgorsen's been kind of middling until he found Will Grier, and that's true, but guess what? Houston has a pretty special quarterback. So, and usually if you get one special quarterback and people start to say, man, this guy's good with quarterbacks, another special quarterback will usually show up. That's how it typically works at those schools.
He's had good ones there in his time. And, you know, there's a pretty good pipeline of quarterbacks at UH right now, starting with the kid that got hurt.
Yeah.
And Derek King, who I think is fantastic. Clayton Toon, who was the guy who replaced him against Army, is kind of Dana's type of quarterback, and I think he could develop him really well. I think that would be an incredible move, and the truth is, if you talk about the best three non-Power 5 programs, it's probably UCF, Houston, and Boise.
Yeah.
Is there really...
I think there's some programs that are on the come. I think Fresno's on the come.
Yeah. But they're still, I think those are the three, right?
I would say so.
And that being the case, and I think Houston can and should be a better program than UCF. It's just that UCF has happened to be on a good run. Speaking of which, as much as they didn't deserve to be in the playoff, would they have been any worse than Notre Dame was?
No, but I honestly think, and while this was one of those years where people were pushing harder than ever for an 8-team playoff.
It's two teams.
It was two teams the whole time. It could have been the old system.
And you said this about a month ago. It's like, no, we don't need an 8-team playoff. We just need to go back to the old two-team thing because it's going to be Alabama and Clemson, and it is.
It would have been smarter to just make Notre Dame feel bad about themselves than Ohio State and be like, oh, the fifth team should have made it. No, we should have just said, listen, third team, I know you had an undefeated season. It was a good run. You don't belong with these guys. You can usually tell.
Yeah.
But I'm excited that, and I know it's kind of chalky, but I'm excited that Alabama and Clemson both did their work, because all season long, this is the matchup I've wanted to see, especially since Clemson switched quarterbacks. Before they switched quarterbacks, I didn't think there was anybody but Alabama.
Yeah.
Now that they've switched quarterbacks, I think there's a really interesting game to be watched.
I hope so. I kind of have a feeling that even with Lawrence, that Alabama is just way too good for this team.
I think so, too, but, you know.
Because what they did against OU was they put that game away in the first quarter. They basically came out and said, we're going to stomp on your throats, and we'll let you backdoor cover so Fred can make money. But other than that, we're just going to come out and beat your ass, and they did. And I kind of feel like the same thing's going to happen. And I know Clemson's got talent, and especially on that defensive front, but I don't think it matters. Two is that good. I like Lawrence, too. He's going to be a great NFL quarterback. I mean, that guy has everything you want. He reminds me a lot of Andrew Luck, frankly.
Did anybody look at Tua versus Kyler Murray and go, yeah, they picked the right guy? Kyler Murray came back later and made it interesting, but while the game was in doubt, he didn't show up.
Well, I think for that award, fine. But if you ask me who I'd rather have on my team, I'm going to...
Oh, it's not even close. Yeah. And then I hear people, of course, it playing against Alabama's defense versus playing against Oklahoma's defense, Tua looked good. So for this one game, you're going to take into account the level of competition defensively. Remember, Tua played all season long in the toughest defensive conference. Kyler Murray played all year long in a conference where no one plays defense. So... I don't know. I thought that was sort of a statement for Tua. As a guy who thought Tua was the clear deserving Heisman, I was glad that he was able to make it.
Well, he was healthy, too. That was the other big thing. He looked good. And I guess, though, the only thing when I look at those games, and it's like maybe Georgia should have been in instead of you can't put them in over an unbeaten Notre Dame. But, my God, Notre Dame had no business there.
Yeah.
And OU, at least, they just played really poorly for the first half and then got it together late. But, yeah, Notre Dame just – that game, start to finish, did not belong.
It was pretty clear. Offensively, they just couldn't get anything going.
No.
And I said all along, Ian Book would have to play the game of his life for Clemson to, or for Notre Dame to even cover.
Yeah.
And he didn't.
No.
So.
All right. Is there music in my ears?
There yes.
We go. Okay, now you're turning it up. All right, we're going to take a quick break.
I'm so exhausted. I hope we only have an hour left.
We only have an hour left in the show.
Whew.
So we've covered Texans, we've covered college football, and we've covered UH. And can I just say, I'm glad they fired Major Applewhite. The guy did a lousy job of hiring, and he wasn't ready for that job.
You see, there's UH fans who want them to hire Art Briles.
Yeah, I knew that was going to pop up. Don't do that.
Don't do that.
No. You just now did something that's going to bring me back into the fold. You hire that guy?
Yeah.
I'm gone. Forever. I mean, there'll be no going back. But with, you know, Rapey Kendall gone and an Applewhite gone, the guy who hired him, yeah, I'll go back to supporting the university, but not if they do that. And I had a friend who called me. I don't want to call him out. It's a former UH football player, good friend of mine.
Andre Ware.
No, it wasn't Andre. But he's like, hey, man.
Case Keenum.
You know, you think we're going to get a bunch of guys together to try to get Art rehired? And I'm like, dude.
Don't do that.
I'm like, that's dumb. And please don't ever call me with that stuff again. And he's like, no, man, you need to get behind this and get on air and talk about it. I'm like, no, I'll get on air and talk about what a bunch of idiots you are. So he's probably listening. And sorry, bud, but I told you. I'm not... You know, I don't get on here and get behind stuff I don't believe in. All right, quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Happy New Year's Eve, everybody. Hope you have a great night tonight, but whatever you do, be smart. Whether you Uber or just... Well, I'm certain they are surge pricing Uber tonight.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, but whatever you do, just be careful, be smart. Don't want to lose any blitzers. And then we'll be back in here on Wednesday, off tomorrow. So a lot of firings in the NFL. Marvin Lewis gone. Kind of surprised. I thought he had...
It's about time.
I thought he had a lifetime
My
job.
My goodness.
Dolphins fire Adam Gase, who I think will get a job. Jets fire Todd Bowles. Jaguars brought Marone back, which I'm glad because, you know, that's my doppelganger.
Yeah.
Vance Joseph fired, which also glad about. The Raiders hired Mike Mayock.
What an odd choice. I said, man, that should have been Lance Erline's job. How could he not get that job?
Lance would be a better GM than Mike Mayock. I'm going to just call that right now. And he doesn't have a lisp. Well, I mean, that matters, right?
Right.
I think it does. That's why I never could figure out how Mayock got to do color commentary when he has a lisp. It's just, there's certain things in a job. Like I could never be an underwear model, for instance, because I'm not attractive. Well, if you can't talk, you shouldn't be doing a radio TV job.
Right.
But that's a weird. To take him and Gruden now, you've got two guys that, good luck with that. Buccaneers fired Dirk Cutter, which doesn't surprise
me.
Yeah. The Falcons fired their offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator, which...
No, they did, and they moved Dan Quinn to D.C.
Yeah. He's gonna call the plays on defense, yeah.
But how often does that happen? A head coach just basically, they say...
Well, no, he's still head coach.
But he's just going to do both jobs now?
Yeah, just like Bill O'Brien.
Oh, I hate that.
Yeah, but... That's usually the last move that you do because, you know, you got hired because you were a great defensive coordinator. Yeah. So now you got to try to fix that defense. But if you're going to do that, you better get an OC who's been a head coach. Go get Adam Gase.
Yeah.
Hire him and just say, all right, offense is yours. I'm staying out of it. And then the Cardinals fired Steve Wilks. My favorite thing about that, the first sentence after fired coach Steve Wilks on Pro Football Talk, could pursue former Bengals coach Marvin Lewis. Okay.
Okay.
Of the guys who got fired, I think McCarthy and Gase will get jobs.
For sure, McCarthy. I would, for sure, Gase. And I guess Harbaugh is no longer on the hot seat, right?
No, can't be. Although
there's a lot of
smoke that the Dolphins want to hire him.
I always say one day they're gonna move on from that guy, and they're gonna feel so stupid whenever their next coach is just not nearly as good as him.
But I do think the Dolphins want to try to. They're gonna have to trade picks or something because he's still under contract. But that was the big. It's kind of like the UH thing. It's like you're not gonna fire Major unless you have a shot at Dana Holgorsen.
Right.
I think the Dolphins think they have a shot at Harbaugh. So that's why they fired Gase. And that being the case, I mean, we'll see. He's obviously not going to be able to interview until his season's over, which I don't know if that's going to be. I don't think that's going to be this week.
I wouldn't be in a hurry.
I think the Ravens are going to win a game at least.
Yeah.
And maybe two. But and it's so funny to me because, especially in the AFC, I think the four teams playing this week, if you made a bet with me right now, you take the two teams on bye, and I take the four teams that are playing this week. I'll take the four teams playing this week. One of them gets there. I really like the way all these teams are going into the playoffs.
I think so too.
And the Chargers, I think all four of those teams can go on the road and win.
The only one I worry about is the Texans.
Right. I mean, I'd give them less of a chance than the other three of doing that. But I also think if you're going to go out and let Deshaun Watson run for 70 yards, you got a shot.
Yeah.
And I think what we saw yesterday is kind of the playoff plan is he's going to run a lot of those design runs. And I think they'll take more shots downfield than they did yesterday. I think that game plan, and I'll give Bill O'Brien credit because I bang on him for a lot. That was a pretty good game plan. It's like, listen, these guys can't beat us. They can't score. Let's just, be conservative. I would have liked for them to score one more touchdown and get Watson out of there in the fourth quarter. That would have been ideal.
Right.
But there was no way they were giving up points to that team. So, Mott said, you guys are representing Major Applewhite wrong. He was not fired. He and UH just had a separation.
Well, yeah, that's Marvin Lewis. They mutually agreed that they had enough. Sure.
Yeah, I saw that separation. Because separation implies you might get back together later.
Right.
No, he's gone. And, I think he'll get another job, but I think he needs to be coaching at a place with lower expectations. And whether it's he should go to a UTSA or someplace like that, and I think he'll have some success. But he was never ready for that job. And, it was pretty obvious early on. When you make bad hires for your coordinators, and that's what killed Tony Levine. Tony Levine's a better coach.
Well, what's funny is, had Kendall Briles not been at Baylor with his dad, it wouldn't have been a bad hire.
No, and I'm not saying it was a bad hire, but the problem
because
is...
Because at the end of the day, that hire, him losing Kendall Briles, is probably what got him canned.
Well, here's the problem with that. And if you have that guy, and you hire that guy, and he's successful, you lose him.
Right.
And you have to take all the heat. If he's not successful, then it's a bad hire. In this case, he was successful, but he was never staying here. And now Florida State gets him, and you've taken all the crap for hiring the guy. And so to me, in the end, that's not a good hire. It worked. Yeah. It worked from a results standpoint to an extent. But, if that's what you're doing, if you're giving him a stepping stone to another job for 1 year, and you have to take all the taint that comes with it.
Right.
I don't like that. It's true. Let's try Chase real quick. What's up, Chase?
Hey, guys. There's a little bit of chatter about if Nick Saban wins the national championship, there's really nothing left for him to do on the collegiate level. I think everyone would agree he's the greatest college football coach of all time. Any chance he goes to Green Bay, coaches Aaron Rodgers, it's one of the few jobs where the quarterback is in place. He wins the Super Bowl. You'd say best football coach ever, college or pro.
I think that Nick Saban, I mean, Nick Saban could have gone back to the, like, what did Nick Saban have to accomplish before this year?
Yeah, still, I mean, it's nothing he does at this point.
I think he's comfortable at Alabama because, you know, he's going to get the best players. He's got a, you know, he's got a chance to win every year in the NFL. I think he's realized now that, I mean, even with Aaron Rodgers, you don't always have a chance to win. It's a lot different. And Nick Saban likes picking his own players. Nick Saban's got a special quarterback for at least another year. I can't imagine that he would walk away to another job that would be more work for him. And Nick Saban's making so much money at Alabama that, you know, like most college coaches, they'd like to be in the NFL for the money purposes. Nick Saban doesn't have to worry about that. Nick Saban makes more than most NFL coaches.
I don't know what motivates him at this point. I think if he were going to go back to the NFL, it would have been a couple of years ago. Because you had a chance to go and coach Andrew Luck. You've had a chance to coach a lot of guys. And I just don't think he's a very good NFL coach. I think we saw what he was. And that's not, you know, he's obviously a great college coach and one of the best ever. Maybe the best ever. But the problem, and Pete Carroll said this, and I think it makes so much sense. Before he went to the NFL, he's like, I get 8 first-round picks every year at USC.
Yeah.
I get 1 if I go to the NFL. And that's true. And I think Saban's the same way. You look at how many guys, it's exaggerating a little bit to say 8, but he gets the players he wants. He gets guys who are going to be high draft picks in the NFL. And, you know, he's at a place where he's got a machine there now. He can just push the button, frankly. He doesn't even have to work. And they're going to be in the championship game every year. So I think when he decides to call it quits, it's going to be to retire, not to go to the NFL. And frankly, I don't think he would have any success in the NFL. I don't care who his quarterback is. He's just not his game, and that's okay. There's very few guys that can do both, and I mentioned Pete Carroll. Jimmy Johnson did it. But coaching is not – you can't just say, oh, coaching is coaching. Some guys are very successful at one and not successful. You know, Lovie Smith was a pretty good NFL coach. He's a terrible college coach. How does he still have a job?
I don't know.
But they are different games. Anyway, all right,
let me tell you guys about Triangle Energy. Listen, there's a lot of different energy providers out there. Always different offers, ranging from free weekends, free days, cash bonuses, the list goes on. And you may have fallen for one of these offers and months later found out, wait a minute, I'm paying a higher rate on my bill, or there's additional fees being tacked on. What's going on here? You don't get that with Triangle Energy. They keep it simple. The rate you see, that's the rate you pay, period. No gimmicks, no minimum usage fees, no charges for going over a certain amount of electricity. It's just good, honest business from a good, honest, born in Texas company. Give them a call, 877-93-EAGLE, or log on to TryEagleEnergy.com. Use promo code ESPN. You'll get an additional discount. That's 877-93-EAGLE or TryEagleEnergy.com. Promo code ESPN, PUCT license number 10064.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5 and Sports Map 94.1.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. And do me a favor and check out SportsMap.com if you haven't today, because there's tons of great stuff on there, as there is every day, even though, you know, it's kind of a slow time for radio. It's not a slow time for Sports Map. We had 5 stories up yesterday after the Texans game. Actually, 6, because Cody wrote the Major Applewhite story. And if you go there today, we've got an early look at the matchup of Texans versus Colts from Cody. We've got the top 5 moments in Houston sports for 2018. Our buddy Joel. And by the way, glad to hear Joel and Barry today, because a lot of other people took the day off, but not those guys. he's got a column on James
Harden.
We don't
judge people based on their vacation time.
Oh, I do. Right? I do.
I do too, honestly.
I'm not going to lie.
I always have.
The people who show up are the people I respect. But he's got a James Harden column. Jermaine's got the good, bad, and ugly from week 17 in the NFL. And we have a video up on the Cougs targeting Dana Holgorsen as their next head coach from Charlie Polillo.
There you go.
So, yeah. And a lot of people have been asking about the print version of Jesus Just Left Chicago any day now. It's in final production now. So it's basically probably when we come back on Wednesday, I'll be able to tell you how you can buy it.
Sweet.
Which I'm excited about. But you can always get the audiobook version, which is on, just go to my Twitter and it's pinned to the top, or you can go to gowmediapublishing.com, which we're going to jazz that site up a little bit here in the new year. But a lot of great responses to it. So the people who have, if you're a degenerate, then you'll enjoy it. That seems to be the case. People who are not degenerates don't like it.
Okay.
So that's fair, right?
That's fair, yeah. It's not for everybody. No. Nothing is.
No, nothing's for everybody.
Not even our show. Apparently some of you like In the Loop better than our show. You're idiots, but hey.
That's okay. Yeah, everybody, I mean, we still have more listeners. They just had better ratings than us. So yeah, that's yeah. Okay. I'm not going to blame our listeners for that.
It's not a perfect system, but what are we going to do?
No, but that's okay. Yeah, if you want to go. I don't even know who's on In the Loop other than Lopez. And I think Fred Davis.
I found out Fred Davis is gone.
Yeah, he's leaving.
Or left.
He already left. Oh, okay. 2 weeks ago.
So he left and they beat us. That's weird. A32 asks, how do they pick which network runs playoff games? It's a given that the Texans are always slotted for the first Saturday game, but now we have to listen to Witten and Tessitore.
That's a bad break.
Yeah. You
knew they were going to get that spot.
Right.
But it's just the way they drew the networks. That's what's and the networks bid on that stuff. So that's
ESPN already had it. But the reality is, you know, that's the Texans aren't very sexy. That's the least most sexy game. That's what you're going to get. But all that's already... But somebody has, you guys talked about UFC 232. I wanted to get your opinion of that because I have to say I did not think, well, I wasn't convinced that Nunes wouldn't beat Cyborg.
Yeah.
I just didn't think it would happen like that. I thought she would drag it out maybe and be able to beat her.
Yeah.
I think that fight was more interesting to me than
Jones.
I think
Cyborg
was.
Just got aggressive, got too aggressive. I think that she thought that it was just another case where she would just physically dominate and get in there and get it done and get out. But Amanda Nunes isn't scared of anybody. That's a tough chick. And she's built up quite a resume. You know, she's probably beat three of the top four women's MMA fighters of all time. And now when you think about, well, at least at that, in her weight classes, 135 and 145, and the only one that, I mean, I'm talking about all time. Like, Gina Carano's the one that she didn't beat, and Gina Carano hasn't fought in years. So
now she's off doing Deadpool movies.
But to beat Ronda Rousey, Miesha Tate, and Cyborg, you're talking about maybe now the greatest woman fighter of all time, which is pretty wild. I do think Cyborg should get a rematch, though. I think that's only fair. When you dominate for so long, you don't lose in like 10 years, 12 years, whatever it's been. I always feel like you should get an immediate rematch, no matter how crazy it, you know.
I'd pay to see that fight again.
I would, too. I wanted to see Jose Aldo versus Conor McGregor as soon as that happened, because you can't go that long and not lose and then not deserve another crack at it. Because there's guys who aren't the champion. They get beat, and they're able to work their way back to it. If you're the champion for 12 years, you should get a shot.
What about the Jones fight?
John Jones was impressive, man. And I actually had a little bet on Gustafson. I ended up with plus 238 was the best I could get it.
That's still pretty good.
Yeah, I was hoping for plus 250. It never came. but it didn't matter because John Jones did. He looked like old school John Jones. And Gus just got a little bit overwhelmed, I think. So good for him. I don't know what fight they'll make next, but I'm always excited to see him fight.
Well, I hope he can stay clean and keep fighting for a while, because the UFC is better when John Jones is fighting. I didn't think it was that visually, just from a aesthetic perspective, I don't think it was that much fun to watch.
No.
But that That's how I feel about every time when GSP fought. I always felt the same way, but I loved watching him. And
right.
I kind of feel the same way about John Jones. I just love watching the guy fight. But pretty good card on the whole. So 713-780-ESPN is your number, and you only have 36 more minutes of the Blitz before we turn it over to A&M football. And as they play, you got any opinions on that from a betting standpoint?
I worry about A&M because the one thing they have a problem with is I'm sort of like the Texans. When they play good QBs, they struggle.
Yeah.
And Ryan Finley's going to be an NFL player. He can throw the ball around a little bit. So if they can't slow down the pass at least, they might get boat raced. But
I don't think they get blown out because I think they're good enough offensively to stay in the game with those guys. But you're right. I think that concerns me a little bit. I'm actually kind of depressed because usually my New Year's Eve tradition is World Junior Hockey, U.S. versus Canada.
Mm-hmm.
This year, they're not in the same group.
Oh.
So they're not going to play until the medal round if the U.S. gets through, which I don't know if they're going to. So it's Canada, Russia, and U.S. Finland today. So it's back-to-back. They're not playing each other. So I'm probably going to go to my local watering hole and ask them to put that on so I can watch it.
Yeah.
And then have the Aggies on another TV. That's kind of the plan. But I'm really this is like, because this is sort of the whole holy war in our household every year when U.S. plays Canada New Year's Eve. Don't have that this year. It's kind of depressing.
Sorry for your loss.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to make it either a loser leave town or a winner gets to keep the puppy thing, but didn't happen. All right, guys, I got to tell you about the greatest poker room in the city of Houston.
Do you mind if I help you?
I'd love for you to help me.
Okay.
But here's the thing.
Because I already know what it is.
It's Lions Poker Palace.
Yeah, I knew that.
You knew that? You sure?
I was sure.
Guess what? They're not open today.
That's not surprising.
No, but they will reopen tomorrow. And guess what they got tomorrow? Tournaments.
On New Year's Day?
Yes.
Oh, look at that.
Nothing changes on New Year's Day. $2,000 guaranteed hold'em tournament for $40 at 1 o'clock tomorrow. So by the time you sober up, that's a perfect thing to do. And then they've got a $3,000 guaranteed hold'em bounty tourney at 6:30 tomorrow. And, man, they, on the weekends, they're giving away so much money. I mean, they had a $22,000 tournament, a $15,000 tournament, a $7,000 tournament last weekend. Every weekend, they're giving away about $30,000. And I'm telling you, George and Najib and all the guys over there do a great job. That room is so awesome. And if you're a tournament player, this is your place to go.
Yeah, you need to follow them on Facebook for all the information about the tournaments. And I am a tournament player, and they've got tournaments nonstop. Whatever kind of money you're looking to play for, whatever kind of game you like to play, they've got you covered. But stop in and see this place for yourself. All the TVs, it's BYOB, they've got great food. 6134 Richmond Avenue in Houston. That's Lions Poker Palace, 6134 Richmond Avenue in Houston.
Is ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1.